The campfire in Northern California is still burning. It's the deadliest and most destructive fire in the state's history. Dozens of people have been found dead so far, and the town of Paradise has almost completely burned to the ground. Amid the devastation, people are searching for answers to how the fire started, and equipment owned by the Pacific Gas and Electric Company may be at least partially to blame. Officials are investigating whether power lines owned by the state's largest utility started the fires. It would be the second time in 2 years the company is held responsible for a major wildfire. Ted Goldberg is the morning news editor for KQED in San Francisco, and he's been following the story. Ted, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So what do we know so far about how the Camp Fire started?
Well, CAL FIRE, the agency that's investigating the fire, has been pretty tight-lipped. They say that we're investigating all possibilities, and they include problems with electrical equipment in that sort of list of categories. We know that in the hours after the fire started, Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, filed an incident report with state regulators basically saying that there was an outage on a major transmission line about 15 minutes before the fire began in an area believed to be where the fire started. In fact, last Friday, they filed yet another document with the California Public Utilities Commission saying that there was another problem with a different line, this time a distribution line in an area of that's described as Concow. It's a community in Butte County, one of the communities that's been devastated, indicating that their distribution line also had an outage. This was about 30 minutes after the fire began in a similar area where CAL FIRE says there may have been a second ignition point. So right now, there are a number of clues. These two incidents with PG&E infrastructure, CAL FIRE is saying we're ruling things out, things like lightning. There was no lightning in the area, and arson. There's no evidence of arson. So a lot of us in the press are focused on the PG&E infrastructure in the area where the fire may have begun.
Now, of course, this isn't the first time that the PG&E infrastructure may have been responsible for starting a wildfire there. Can you take us back to the deadly North Bay fires from last year?
Well, last October, about October 8th, there were a series of wildfires that devastated Northern California. Here in our area, in the Bay Area, in Sonoma County and in Napa County and in Lake County, there were just neighborhoods that were destroyed and dozens of people lost their lives. And in a similar sort of situation here where our station is located in San Francisco, these were huge fires. They were fairly close to the Bay Area. There would be smoke that would be pouring in, you know, into the region. The state brought to bear a huge amount of resources to fight, you know, a large number of wildfires. The city of Santa Rosa, which is one of the Bay Area's largest cities, lost dozens and dozens of homes. And PG&E was blamed for about 16 of those wildfires. They also faced a number of lawsuits. The biggest fire, though, in that set of wildfires, the Tubbs Fire in the North Bay and in right north of San Francisco, CAL FIRE has yet to release its findings on that. And we are sort of waiting and hoping that we'll learn more about, you know, what was the biggest blaze in our area last October.
Ted, what's really happening here? I mean, is it that PG&E is not taking care of the power grid as they should? Or is this just, I guess you could add, normal wear and tear of the grid and their inability to keep up with it? What's going on?
Well, you know, the weather is a major factor, and PG&E is fully aware of that. In fact, in the days before the fire, the big fire in Butte County, the Camp Fire, PG&E had warned customers in a number of counties, including Butte County, the weather coming up is going to be very bad. The wind is going to be very high, and it's possible we may have to turn the power down in advance. They did something like this in late October in a number of areas, and they actually got a bunch of criticism for it, and they warned people in advance, we may turn the electricity down. They decided not to do that. But to answer your question, you know, one of the major factors is not just making sure that their equipment is safe, but it's also putting in preventative measures. And in some cases, they get criticized if they do and if they don't. What's really going on right here is we have a major discussion about California's largest utility. PG&E is a part of the major fabric of the Bay Area. And we all rely on them here. So many of us do. But at the same time, they have been held responsible, not just for a series of wildfires like you pointed out last year, and their eyes of investigators are not just on the wildfires this year, but in several different incidents over the last few years, PG&E has been blamed for a number of disasters. You may remember in 2010 in San Bruno, a natural gas transmission line blew up, basically destroying a neighborhood. Last year in May, there was a refinery shutdown. It was a power outage. The state regulators ended up blaming PG&E. So there's a big discussion about what this means for the future of the utility and whether or not it may file for bankruptcy, whether or not it's appropriate that the state rely on a for-profit company for something as important as electricity and safety.
I mean, given the results, I can't imagine that the organization doesn't have more oversight. There isn't. Is there a body or an organization or a person that is supposed to have oversight on this? And if so, where are they?
So I've mentioned the name of the California Public Utilities Commission a couple times. They are the state regulator when it comes to utilities. After the San Bruno incident that I mentioned just a moment ago, they actually came under fire for not being a strong enough enforcer and regulator of PG&E. They're the ones that investigate whether or not PG&E is abiding by state utility regulations. And our eyes will be on that as a regulator. In fact, last week, Michael Picker, who's the president of the commission, the CPUC, made comments to investors in one part of the day, basically reassuring them, I don't think that PG&E will have to file for bankruptcy. We don't want that to be the case. That ended up pushing up PG&E shares that had fallen after information released about this fire. But then in a statement to the public, he said, we are going to have to investigate this company and their safety culture. So our eyes are not just on PG&E, but they're also on this regulator that you mentioned.
We've got a couple seconds left in the segment. Has PG&E issued a statement to you? Have they said anything about this, or are they being pretty tight-lipped so far?
Well, you know, they emphasize that they're cooperating with investigators, that the cause of the fire is not yet known. And they do release information, in bits and pieces about their infrastructure. But for the most part, they're not releasing a large amount of information and not commenting. I think they're staying back and saying, look, you know, they are facing a number of lawsuits. They're facing a lot of scrutiny. And at this point, their public statements have been pretty short.
Ted Goldberg is the morning news editor for KQED. Ted, thanks so much.
Good to be with you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.